And praise you. You have gathering us together here. Lord, we know that it is your great mercy that we can be with you. Lord, we give this time to you. We want to be one spirit with you. We want you to have preeminence in this meeting. Lord, we consecrate ourselves to you. Lord, we pray that you will cover us with your victorious blood so we can all enjoy your fresh anointing. Lord, we have no trust in ourselves. Our trust is in you. We just commit everything into your hand. We thank you, we praise you. Amen. As you can see that this week here, we enjoyed these verses from the book of Ephesians. That is chapter 5 from verse 1 to verse 21. So in the beginning, I will just share with you what are the things that I enjoyed the most in this portion. Then later, we will break into the language groups. And at that time, Brother Dennis will tell us how to go to your language groups. And then you can use your mother tongue to prophesy and to share with one another then what are the things you enjoy the most in this portion. Now, the first thing that I enjoy very much is the first two verses in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. So this is, let's read those two verses together, okay? Be therefore imitator of God. And beloved children, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved us, and gave himself up an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Now, the first thing I enjoy very much, that in verse 1, I'm glad that it did not stop at the middle of the verse. Now, the verse says, be therefore imitator of God. I'm glad it did not stop here. Then what are the three precious words? As beloved children. Praise the Lord. We are the Lord's beloved children. Why are these three verses so precious? Because without being God's children, none of us can imitate God, right? How can we imitate God? And so many times we think God is patient, so we gnash our teeth, we try to be patient. Don't say that you cannot imitate God. Even if you can, that's still yourself. It's not God. And but we thank the Lord that we are God's children.
Amen.
Because we are God's children, so we have God's life.
Amen.
And therefore, we see clearly in John chapter 3, when this elderly, the officer, actually he's a very high level, Nicodemus, he came to see Jesus. You could see that this Nicodemus is really a very good person, a very humble. At that time, Jesus was about 30 years of age, but Nicodemus was very old. And he also was an officer. And then he humbled himself, came to the Lord. He probably expected that the Lord would give him a very good message, but the Lord did not say any good message, but he said, unless the person is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Right.
And so then, of course, Nicodemus did not understand what Jesus was talking about, but make a long story short, but eventually Jesus just impressed him that he had to be born again. Not only born again, but born anew.
Right.
So that was a new kind of birth. Now we all have the first birth. That is, from our parents, we receive a human life. But to be born again, or to be born anew, means in addition to our original the life of man, the human life, we receive a new life. That's why it is a new thing. That is, we receive God as our Father. We receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior.
Right.
And as we receive Jesus into us, we receive the divine life into us. So therefore, today, we all have the life of God. You know, every life has its nature. Now, since we have received the divine life into us, then at the same time, we receive the divine nature into us. Therefore, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says, today we have such a tremendous promise. It's what? That we can be partakers of the Lord's nature. So it's wonderful. So we can have all these blessings from the Lord. Without this, none of us can imitate God. So for us to imitate God, it's not like when you go to a zoo. Very often you can see the monkeys, monkey show. As many times in the zoo, some experts will try to train this monkey look like the man. They sometimes, I saw a few in the past, and they let the monkey dress up the tuxedo, and also to ride bicycles. Some monkey could ride bicycles. Not only that, and they also train the monkey to use knives and forks to eat a meal. They could handle knives and forks much better than many Chinese people try to grab. But they could only, the most they could do is this much. And because what? Because their life. They did not have a human life. They had what? A monkey life. Right. Monkey life, maybe they could learn to ride on a bicycle. But definitely, they cannot learn how to fly, jet fly. If one day you are in the plane and saw that in the front flying back, a monkey sitting there, you better quickly run away, right? Because we know monkey can never learn how to fly a jet plane. Why? Because they did not have that kind of life. And therefore, Jesus said, if you don't have, if you are not born again, so you even cannot see the kingdom of God. Don't say that you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You even cannot see. Therefore, I believe many of you here love the Lord, want to preach the gospel. Very often when we preach the gospel, and then the gospel friend said, I don't know the Bible, and let me do some research, let me read the Bible more, and when I understand more, and then I will believe. But don't be carried away by this kind of talk. You have to tell them. You need to have the divine life first. Without the divine life, you will never understand the Bible, because you don't have that life. So then, we thank the Lord that today, we all have, because we have believed in the Lord Jesus, we have received a new life into us. Amen. With this life, then we can imitate God. And so it is not based on our natural life, it's completely based on this divine life. So we thank the Lord. Therefore, every time when we have the Lord's table meeting, we always will worship the Father. So our Lord Jesus will always lead us to the Heavenly Father, and so we can enjoy this divine life. And so we praise the Lord for this. So this is the first thing that I enjoy very much. Then the second thing is in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 8. Now, earlier we read, it says, talk about the Lord's love. Then and in verse 8, it says, for you were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, here, this verse is very precious. It's related to all what you have in the earlier. That is, now today, not only we have the life, the divine life, the divine nature. Because we have divine life and divine nature, we need to live according to this life, according to this nature. Then we can, what? We can manifest God. Then we can be children of light. How can we actually practice these things? How can we actually experience these things? The key is we need to have fellowship with the Lord. Therefore, 1 John, this reminds me, 1 John chapter 1. We know 1 John chapter 1 is the chapter for the fellowship. Now, this fellowship in 1 John chapter 1 actually has two aspects. Now, one is towards God, another is towards the people. So here in the verse 3, John Apostle John said this. He said in verse 3, he said that which we have seen and heard, we report also to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. How about if we read this verse together? Again. That which we have seen and heard, that you also may have fellowship with us and fellowship with Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So you see that the kind of fellowship we should have is twofold. Vertically speaking, we need to have fellowship with Triune God, with the Lord Jesus, with God the Father, God the Spirit. And so we need to have fellowship with the Triune God. And then we thank the Lord, the Triune God lives in us. In the Bible, there are many verses show us that God the Father lives inside of us. And just in Ephesians chapter 4, you could see that God the Father is what? Above us, among us, also within us. So God the Father is in us. And then also God the Son also lives in us. Christ, Jesus Christ lives in us. This is our what? Glorious hope. Hope of glory. So Jesus also in us. And also many other verses show us God the Spirit also are in us. When I was young, I was troubled. I asked the elderly brothers, now, which one should I pray to? Should I pray to the Father or to the Son or to the Spirit? At that time, usually in Christianity, the official, the standard answer was that we pray to the Father in the name of the Son with the power of the Spirit. Okay, then I say, oh, praise the Lord, now I know. So then when I pray to the Father in the name of the Son and by the power of the Spirit. But then many times as I was talking to the Father, Father, thank you, I worship you, and you give me your life. And then before I know it, I was praying and thanking the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank you. And because that you shed your blood to cleanse me so that I can come to God. But then, oh, Lord Jesus, I really thank you. I love you. Oh, all of a sudden, I prayed to the wrong one. So then I quickly said, oh, sorry. Father, sorry. So, then later, because the help of the ministry, then Brother Lee just asked us one question. That is, that when you fellowship with God, how many God do you have inside? One or three? Of course, when we have fellowship with God, we only feel this one God in us. So then, don't worry that the God we worship is the Triune God. There are three one God. So there's. They have the three aspects, but still only one God. And therefore, to pray to the Father and to pray to the Son, to pray to the Spirit, all the same. So whatever that the Lord leads you. So this is what we all need to experience. Now, Apostle John said he had the fellowship with the Triune God. And with this fellowship, this the vertical fellowship, he also fellowship with the saints. And so this is horizontal. We all need to have these two kind of fellowship. But here, one thing we need to be very clear, because the portion we read, it talks about that today we are the children of the light. Now then, What is the light? Who is the light? In John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, it tells clearly in verse 5, it said, God is the light. And so, and this is the message, and he says, God is light. Not only God has light, but God is light. In other words, this God is light. Therefore, if you want to touch the light, you have to touch God. Therefore, verse 5 said, God is light. Not only God has light, God is light. And therefore, then in verse 7 says that if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. That's wonderful. We can have fellowship with this God the Father. Right. And when we touch him, we touch light. In verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he, that is God the Father, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Okay. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin. Why it mentioned that the blood of Jesus will cleanse us? To have fellowship with God, is that good or bad? Of course it's good, right? It's wonderful, right? To fellowship with God, is that a sin? Of course not. But then why? Right away it says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, will cleanse us from every sin. Why? Only one reason, that is because God is light. And when we have not contact God, and then we are in darkness. How do we know whether we are in darkness or whether we are in light? When very clear indication is, if you are in darkness, you can only see other people's mistakes. You can never see your own error, your own weakness. So that shows you are in darkness. Once you're in the light, you will see your own weaknesses, your own sins. You will be surprised how many the germs of sins are inside of us. And then when you are in the light, you see what kind of problem the weaknesses you have, then you have no time to look to see other people's problems. Therefore, based on this shining from this God, God is light, based on this light, then we will see our real condition, and then what? Then that will lead us to verse 9. What does verse 9 say? That he who says that he is in the light and yet hates his... No, I'm sorry. In verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, and then he is faithful and righteous, will forgive our sins and cleanse all our iniquities. So this is what we should have. This kind of experience is what we should have. In other words, we should always have fellowship with God and also with other saints. And then as we are contacting God, we'll receive the shining, receive the light from God. And when we receive the light from God, then we will see so many weaknesses and the sins and the inside of us. Then what we need to do is not to be depressed. The reason that when God shines his light upon us is in order he wants to save us. Not only give us the eternal salvation, we need to be saved day by day. And when we see our own condition, we need to have the specific confessing of our sins and to the Lord. And then, so the Lord's blood will cleanse us. And so this is how we can grow in life. And Brother Lee emphasized very much, and when people kept saying, oh, vital this, vital that, a vital group, and this, vital, and Brother Lee always said, no one can be really vital with the guilty conscience. So if you really want to be vital, first of all, you have to fellowship with the Lord, and then you put yourself under God's light, and when you receive God's light, you will see what kind of condition we are in, and then we will have the specific confessing of our sins, and then when we have a good conscience, just like what Paul said, he exercised himself to have a good conscience towards God and towards men. Now, only in this kind of condition you can be really vital. So we thank the Lord. So this the ministry brought us into all these very practical practice. So I thank the Lord that so when since we in this portion we talk about now we are children of light. So it is not just a slogan to say this. We have to see that we have to experience this and we have to enjoy this. And so this is the another thing that I was reminded and I enjoyed very much. And then apart from these two things, then another thing I enjoyed quite much, but but before I share the last point, I have to apologize to you that originally I will just share that point and then quickly turn the things to Dennis, and you can go to your language group. But this morning, the Lord wake me up at 6 o'clock, and then the Lord reminded me, today is what? Easter, right? Today's Easter. Originally, I did not plan to say anything about Easter. But then, this morning, as I was praying to the Lord, then the Lord seems that he wants me to say something about Easter. And so, that would probably make my speaking a few minutes longer. Okay. Now, first of all, we know the Easter is for what? It's to remember the Lord's resurrection, right? And then this Easter thing left a very strong impression with me. Now, I was not from a Christian family. I did not know anything about Christianity. The first time I had contact with Christianity was during the Second World War. That time I was either 4.5 years old or 5 years old, and my house was very close to U.S. Embassy. You know, at that time during the Second World War, China was nationalist Chinese government. It's not communist, so China had good relationship with United States. So United States had the big embassy in Chongqing that during the war. And so the first time the Easter, the United Embassy invited us children to their backyard and asked us to look for those colored eggs. And they tried to, the ambassador, he hit many colored eggs in different places. Now he asked us to look for them. Who could find the most colored eggs, and they would give us a price. And then, of course, I was only 5. I did not know where to look. But my sister, much older than me, than I, and she found a lot more eggs. She even put some color on those eggs herself. Then, anyway, that was my first contact with Christianity. Oh, so Christianity is good because on Easter we could go to look for these colored eggs. But then I came to the United States in 1962. That was the springtime. And when I first came, I came to New York, it's because at that time, even though I graduated from university, and we have to serve in military service, and I was officer in the Air Force in Taiwan, and so I was already, I served 1.5 years as an officer, but my mother still looked at me, still think I was a baby, and so that's why I came to New York, because at that time I had two aunts. My mother had two sisters lived in New York, and so then that's why she wanted me to come to New York, then she could sleep at peace. So that's why I came to New York. But once I arrived here, I saw so many drugstores, and they have all these rabbits. Now, I don't know, I should not use the word rabbit, that should be what? Easter bunny, right? It's not, okay, so I saw how come there are so many rabbits, and also many chocolate rabbits, very big. So I said, how come Americans love the rabbits so much? And then they said to me, don't you know today is Easter? We are celebrating the Lord's resurrection. Then I said, what does rabbit have anything to do with the Lord's resurrection? So that was the thing that really left a very strong impression in my... So the in the United States, they thought the resurrection is related to rabbit, or rabbit was related to resurrection. Then I realized it's all the smart merchants. They are promoting these things, and they are promoting these things. Why? Because they want to make money. So that's why the things like Easter, like Christmas, like what? Like the end of October, Halloween, and then they have this and they have that. Why? It's awful to help these merchants to become rich. But then, you know, in the Bible, they have many truths, but they are important truths, but also they are secondary truths. Now, whether, for instance, now, why I want to mention this, that not only Easter. Easter, really, we don't know Jesus was resurrected at what time, in what month, at what day, we don't know. Why? Because the Bible never told us this. Just like we don't know what day Jesus was born. We only know Jesus was not born in the winter time. Why? Because in the book of Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, it says at the time when Jesus was born, when angel revealed to the shepherds in the wilderness. Now, I went to Israel a few times, and we know in winter time, the wilderness in Israel, in Palestine, that place, it's very cold. No shepherd will bring any sheep into the wilderness when it's snowing and when it's so cold. No, so we know definitely the Lord Jesus was not born in winter time. But then, why we have all this confusion? Because the Bible never gives us a day, never tells us when Jesus was born. And then, the Bible also never tells us what day Jesus was resurrected. And then, with Easter, we only know Jesus was crucified on Friday. So he was resurrected on the first day of the week. And so, but anyway, why the Lord did not mention the day that he was born and all the day he was resurrected? And once he just need to tell the ones, just tell Matthew or tell John and they. Then if it is in the Bible, then we know. But why? the Lord never. It's because the Lord did not want you to remember him once a year. He had his way for us to remember him. It seems today in the United States, forgive me to say this, it seems that many parents, the fathers, the mothers, they are just satisfied that for their children to remember them once a year. Now, to the fathers, you have a Father's Day once a year. To the mothers, you have the Mother's Day once a year. And it seems that all these parents, the fathers, the mothers are very satisfied with this 1 year. remembrance, the 1 year contact. No, the Lord does not want this. Does not want this kind of remembering. And so the Lord is what? He wants us to remember him every week. This is why we also read this, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. It is the first day of the week. This is only one of many verses in the New Testament. In the New Testament, tells us very clearly that the first day of the week, the first day of the week. So this first day of the week actually is also called the Lord's Day. This is the Lord's Day. Don't confuse the Lord's Day with the Sabbath. The Lord's Day has nothing to do with the Sabbath. In the Old Testament, we know that God worked 6 days. On the seventh day, that he had Sabbath. And then, later, when he gave the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel through Moses, then he also, the fourth commandment was that the people of Israel should observe, should practice the Sabbath. In other words, they work 6 days, then the seventh day, they should rest. Now, one thing I hope that we are very clear. Our God is the creator of the universe. The Lord will never feel tired. Don't think that he worked 6 days and then he was tired. He had to take a day off, a day rest. No, no. For him to have the Sabbath, it's not that he was tired. That for him to have Sabbath, to rest, it's because he was satisfied. You have to see the difference. When he spent 5 days created many things, and he saw all these things were very good, but he was not satisfied. But then, on the sixth day, he created man. And he created man according to his image. So in other words, this man is what he really wants to get. This man had his image, and so this man can express him and also represent him. And that's why he was happy. He was satisfied that he had done what he was after. Therefore, on the seventh day, he was satisfied, therefore he rested. So I want everybody clear about this. And with the young people, we're having a young people conference. You serving ones need to impress the young ones this thing. That is, if the Lord in you, all these young people, they all have believed in the Lord and received the Lord and baptized. And so the Lord is in them. But then if they do not live according to what the Lord feelings, and then if the Lord in us is not satisfied, and then if he's not satisfied, we can never be satisfied. Why so many times, even we are Christians, we should be happy all the time. Why many times you cannot be happy? It's because you make spirit, the God, the spirit in us was what? Was grieving. When he's grieving, you cannot have the real enjoyment, real happiness. So we have to see that our God, he observe the seventh day because he was satisfied. And so he was resting because he was satisfied. Now today, for us to be really, if we want to be satisfied, we want to be happy, have the peace, then you need to let the Christ inside of you, the Spirit inside of you, happy. When the Lord is happy in you, spontaneously you will be very, very happy. But if the Lord is grieving, is not satisfied with you, you will never be satisfied. So we all need to learn this lesson. That's why I want to mention this about the Easter. Now Easter, we don't know what day, but we only know that he was resurrected in the first day of the week. And so then this will bring me to the last point. That is in Ephesians chapter 5, I think it's verse 16. Yeah, he said, let's read that verse together. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So this few words, redeeming the time. This is the verse I impressed me very much. Redeem the time. Even since I was very young at that time, I already received this kind of education. Even when I was in elementary school student, teachers would keep telling us that the most precious thing is not money. The most precious thing is our time. Don't waste our time. And then, so this is the same as it said this. Why? Because if you lose some money, you can work harder and get the money back. But if you waste your time, the time, once it's gone forever. It will never come back. And therefore, today, sometimes I saw some of the saints, sometimes including I myself in the past, were just wandering around doing nothing. We are wasting our time. And the time you wasted, the time I wasted, will never come back. And therefore, time is the most precious thing. Therefore, here, warn us that don't want. We have to redeem the time. So not only don't wandering around, waste our time. And also, this word time also can be translated in, if you go to the Greek interlinear, you can see that word also can be interpreted as opportunity. In other words, don't miss the opportunity. I thank the Lord this time many young ones came to this young people conference. But that was their spring vacation, right? During the spring vacation, so many people, young people, students went to different places to have a vacation, right? But then I thank the Lord that we have what, 450? Yeah, we have 450 young people here. So that means this time they did not miss the opportunity. Amen. And so that means they did not waste their time. Amen. So they really spend the time in the best way.
Amen.
Because what the time they spend on has eternal value.
Amen.
And maybe for people go to the beach or here or there, all those are temporary, has no eternal value. I want to say this to all the parents or grandparents.
Right.
Don't waste your time and don't let your children and the grandchildren waste their time.
Right.
And may the Lord be merciful to us so that we can all redeem our time. And then so our days will be counted before the Lord.
Amen.
So these are the things I enjoy. Now I think you can share whatever you enjoy.
Yeah.
So we will break for the prophesying time now. The Chinese-speaking saints, you will go to the fellowship room in the front. To the fellowship room in the front.
Excuse me. So concerning the opportunity, don't forget, every summer we have summer school of the truth. Right. This is a good opportunity for them not to waste their time and for them to redeem the time. Okay, so I hope that all the parents and the grandparents really encourage their children and the grandchildren to come to the summer school of the truth.
This is one of the announcements. The summer school of the truth dates are, for all the parents to write down, August 5th. First week will be in New Jersey through the 18th. The second week of August will be here in New York for all the churches in the Northeast. Now, for the churches in the Virginia area, which some are here, it's a different time. So the Chinese-speaking saints will meet in the fellowship room, and the Spanish-speaking saints will meet in their normal place in the multipurpose room, and then the Korean-speaking saints will meet next door at Bethel House. Is that right, Newman? Next door? Yeah, okay. All right. English will stay here. All the English-speaking saints will stay here. And what we will do, we'll have some prayer as they go, and we will set up, the brothers will set up these microphones, so make it easy, everyone can hear. And then if you want to prophesy, you can come up to the microphones and we can prophesy. Do not be too long. If we get too long, the piano may let us know we're too long. We want to give everyone an opportunity if they'd like to share. So we also want to let the saints know locally. We will finish Ephesians chapter 5, so be sure to pick up your morning watch sheets. We also want to let the churches know who are here visiting. There will be an MP3 CD of this conference, the messages of this conference, and the taping brothers will have it either in the back here at the end of the meeting or in the taping service library. I'm not sure, whatever is more convenient, maybe back in the back of the room here. So you can, one person from each locality, you can go back and get a copy, and you can make copies in your locality for the saints who want that. They also will probably be online, so if you need that URL, we'll let you know where that is. For the high schoolers, we want to correct a misdate that we gave you last night. The summer college training is July 28th. No. The Poland YP, the Young People's European Conference, is July 28th. Is that? To August 3rd, July 28th. We had 18th on there, which was a wrong date, okay? So let's have some prayers, and the brothers will set up the microphones, and the saints will go to their prophesying meeting. Amen.